Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know what? There's some things that happened yesterday in the NFL. The offensive line. Better or worse than you thought it would be?
You know what's interesting? I don't know. I know if I don't just take a total, if I don't pull my pants down and just drop a massive deuce on everything the Texans did, then I'm a homer, I guess. And I don't think I'm ever a homer, but I will say, I thought there were some reps that I actually liked okay from the offensive line, on the ground and through the air. I don't think any of these running backs come close to Joe Mixon. I thought the pass pro wasn't as soft off the edges as I was expecting. Ed Ingram was injured. he did not play in the game. Cam Robinson did play at left tackle. Ursary at right tackle. Titus Howard bumped inside. I thought Ursary did a pretty nice job. I saw him get a couple pancakes in a run game, a couple big finishes that I was really pleased with. So, I have a hard time saying better than. I still don't know.
I didn't like. Well, did they open up any? They didn't open up any running lanes. That's for sure.
Out there. Didn't they outrush the Rams?
I don't know that that matters, but
they got Kyron Williams. I was expecting Kyron Williams to put a little something on.
I had more faith in the Texans defense.
I mean, the Texans ran for 114 yards, Sean. They averaged 4.2 yards a carry. I think this crapping on the Texans run game, I didn't think it was that bad.
I didn't think it was effective at all.
The Rams ran for 72 yards, 2.9 yards a carry. The Texans ran for 42 yards. Now, C.J. Stroud ran for 32 of those.
Yeah.
So
and that was on scrambles.
So out of running backs, you had
Nick Chubb averaged, what, four?
Over four and a half.
21 carries for 77 yards.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. So a little under four when you take away CJ.
Yeah.
But I didn't really think that was going to be a lot of yards from the running game.
I think my issue is, and you touched on it, they have to game plan around this offensive line.
Yeah.
They have to be cognizant of putting too much on them or you're going to wreck your opportunity to win. And even still, with all the things you take into account to limit what they can do to crush a drive, you still only score 9 points. They commit penalties. And you had multiple injuries on that offensive line. Now, Cam Robinson came back maybe because they could not deal with Blake Fisher at right tackle. But when you're game planning in week one to mitigate the disaster that it could be, what did you do this offseason?
I'm telling you, Ed Ingram being out, I think, helped the offensive line because you had three tackles in the game, which helped from a pass pro standpoint. But you have, Jake, so Ed Ingram's out with an abdominal strain, I think. You had Cam go down injured. Jake ended up going off on a cart.
Yeah, they
He walked off, though, in his own power.
He went in under the tent, and then when he came out, they put him on a cart and drove him back into the
Jake being Jake Andrew Jake Andrews. So I don't know what the situation is going to be this week from an offensive line standpoint. I mean, Jake Andrews going off on a cart. The guy's played like two NFL games. He was hurt all last year. Didn't even play last year. So who knows what this is going to look like now. But I for me, you just went up against a really, really good defensive front. And you had a chance to win. It was an ugly game, but you didn't score in the second half. You didn't score in the second half. You got three field goals. You didn't score in the second half. There were seven total points in the second half. Your defense, the Rams scored 14 points, and you lost.
I thought Nick Caley was going to make the halftime adjustments that Bobby Slowick didn't make.
Evil Bobby Slowick, the the architect of the worst offense in the history of football, apparently, what I was told, it was all going to get better, but they didn't hire the right offense coordinator. They're going to have to go back to the drawing boards, I guess, and get a new one after this
game. After game one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the streets are saying.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell? How many? They didn't score in the second half. No halftime adjustments.
Who's up next?
What do you mean, teams?
Yeah. No, who's the game? Who do they play next? Texans?
Tampa on Monday night.
Yeah, they'll beat Tampa. That's easy. That's going to be
why nice, are they easy just going to beat Tampa?
Because they beat them last time.
Yeah, it took everything to beat Tampa last time.
Yeah, I mean, they did it in the last, like, 40 seconds. It took a
miraculous performance by your quarterback.
The last 40 seconds. Yeah. CJ had some kind of incredible throw to Tank Dell on the deep left sideline that I don't even know how Tank Dell got his little tiny feet in to this day. But it's good to see, by the way, Tank Dell in an HEB commercial. I don't know if you saw that during the break. You didn't see it, John. They have an HEB commercial, and it's Will Anderson, then Nico Collins, then C.J. Stroud, and then Tank Dell. So Tank may not play and may definitely won't get a second contract with the Texans, but Tank Dell is getting that HEB money, which I'm actually good for him.
Ambulatory,
yeah.
Tank Dell. He's walking around, can do commercials. Good. Lean into what you did when you're healthy the first couple
three
of years.
Three catches for Nico Collins.
To continue commercial, and only five targets.
Your boy Brian Thomas got one catch, John.
That's it.
For 11 yards.
Wow.
And by the way, I watched some of that because I was at Knicks, because you can watch all the games at Knicks since every TV is on. And I was like, you know, this is going to be the year Trevor Lawrence really has a big year. He's got all these weapons. He didn't look that impressive at all. And they did have an hour and 15-minute delay due to lightning and weather, but I didn't think. I thought Jacksonville looked pretty average. Carolina sucks. You know, there's a lot to get to, but we got to stay focused on the Texans. But, man, that game between the Jets, I never expected Jets and Steelers to be that fun to watch. Never in a million years. I mean, Justin Fields looked good.
Well,
I mean, Justin Fields looked good throwing the football, too.
He did, and he added the element of running. The Garrett Wilson versus Jalen Ramsey thing was entertaining as well.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey made a big play to close it out, and then, you know, they pieced it up after the game, so all's good there. But, yeah, probably before last night, Ravens, Bills, best game of the day. Steelers and Jets.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Right. Who thought those two quarterbacks would play like that?
What'd you think of Jalen? What'd you think of the coverages that when we come back, John, I want you to expound on what you think about how the Texans decided to cover the Rams.
Oh my God. I don't want to do that. Oh my God.
John got to see it up close and personal.
I'm watching, dude. I'm like, what? What are we doing? What are we doing?
You can see it all from the stands. It didn't look too good, did it?
No, it didn't look good at all. you, my friend. Oh, no, I need to talk right now, right? About you need to talk a little underdog. A little
more
underdog.
Well, good. I'll tell you about underdog. Underdog didn't work in my favor yesterday on a couple of – well, I did have higher on Derrick Henry touchdowns, 0.5. I did have that one. But Malik Nabers, I needed him to score a touchdown. He did not score a touchdown. It was 0.5. See, what you do is there's receptions, there's yards, there's touchdowns. You got quarterback stats, running backs, tight ends, wide receivers. Sometimes they'll throw you defensive guys like Will Anderson. I had five players. I had higher on sacks for Will Anderson. That was a win, higher than 0.5. So you go higher or lower on these statistics. And the more players you pick, the more you can win. You win up to 500 times your original play. It's really pretty incredible what Underdog is doing for you. And it's a really fun way to watch games because you got a chance to win big money. And all you have to do is just, you know, take your sports knowledge and apply it. But you have to download the app, Underdog Fantasy. Super easy to operate. Very, very intuitive. You get on there, you know exactly where to go. It's very, very easy. You download the app, use promo code Lance on your first deposit. Once you do that, you are going to get $50 in bonus cash when you make your first $5 play on Underdog Fantasy. So use that sports knowledge, make real money right here in the state of Texas.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore HTML for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Stand by. Cue announcer.
The Del Olalea Show. Weekday mornings from 10 to noon.
So, If you're looking for a business partner, I got one for you. It's HR&P. They will be your business partner. They're our business partner. It's not like we have to split with them, though. We don't have to do that. But they work their ass off for you. They give you a great product in HR and payroll. They take care of all that stuff. They take care of your taxes for you. They take care of, they'll help you find the right insurance and the right 401k for you. They don't make money on that. But you have to do this for all your employees. And you want a business partner who's going to work, who's going to be effective, that's going to do a great job. But you don't, how about this? You don't have to split 50-50 with them. You just have to, you know, pay for their services. That's all. But the services that they provide you are services that you have to have for your employees. And you don't know how to do it. Okay? You just don't. You're not as good as they are at it. Let HR&P do what they do. Every person we have come in and do a testimonial, they rave about HR&P, and there's a reason for that. Because they help their business be better. Help your business be as good as it can possibly be. Go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Let's get Anthony in, and then we will get to what we thought about, what I thought about how the Texans were covering the slot yesterday. Anthony, what's your take on yesterday's game?
I don't know about you guys, but it was the exact same game as I saw last year. Apparently, the new coordinator, he didn't find the bag of new plays. C.J. Stroud still looked scared to step up. The running game should have been used way more because Nick Chubb was ripping off 4 to 5 yards. And then somehow, at the end of the game, they had a brain fart and put their fourth-string running back in, and he fumbled the ball like fourth-string running back do. And as a black man, Gary, you're embarrassing. And white quarterbacks, they have equal rights, too. You have a good day.
Equal rights.
Listen, Dare has been somebody that's been here for what? This is what? His fifth year? Fourth year?
Fifth year? I think fourth year.
They depend on Dare. Dare is a guy who will come out of the backfield. They like Dare. Dare, you know, made a mistake. A game, and it cost them the game. It's all. Dario, you know, it's not, hey, they had their fourth string back in there, and that's what they do. Dario Ogunbowale has actually been a productive player for them. I hated it for him, man. As soon as it happened, I was like, oh, God, this is something. You know, it's on his resume forever. This is the Dario fumbled the ball game, and they lost the game. Just like the Chris Brown threw the pass against the Jaguars. You remember that one?
Uh-huh.
The halfback pass. I mean, the
Rosencopter.
Rosencopter. There are, you know what? The Texans just find a way. They got guys that they just find a way to. And this game, you'll always remember it for the Dare, you know, got the ball punched out. And that's a shame, but that's how it is. Yeah, I didn't see anything different either. Not quite frankly, I didn't see CJ looking good. CJ is supposed to look a lot, but he didn't. He's right. CJ, he had happy feet. He was backing up on some throws and throwing it all arm because he was, you know, it didn't look good. It just didn't look good. The offense looked like crap. The offense just looked like crap, period. And in a large part because of the Rams in their front. But what I didn't get and what I didn't think Matthew Stafford took advantage of nearly enough. So did you notice that Jalen Petrie didn't start the game? He's a true nickel. Did you notice he didn't start
the game? No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
He didn't come in until the third play when they went to nickel.
What were they in?
They were in
just their base
defense.
Huh.
And he came running out.
So they had three linebackers in?
C.J. Gardner-Johnson was on the slot early on.
Yeah. Now, that probably should happen more often.
Yeah.
Well, and it did. I didn't see Petrie
line. Do you want C.J. Gardner-Johnson on Puka?
Well, I mean, you're going to have to you know, unless you just travel. I think Puka's an interesting matchup because he's just so big and physical, and you have Davante Adams. You kind of have to pick your poison with that one. Adams didn't kill you, but Puka did, although he did a lot of his killing in the second half, to be honest with you. You know, the Rams didn't Rams scored twice the whole game.
Yeah.
Rams had two scores the whole game. That's it. They just happened to be touchdowns.
Well, they also the Texans had three costly scores. Penalties, though.
Who, the Rams?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
But I mean, we had more. We had 11.
We had more, but we didn't have nearly the yardage-wise, what they lost
in
yardage.
Yeah, the Rams had some – the Rams had a little run where it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad, but
– But Henry Toa was on the slot I don't know how many times, because I pointed it out in our – I was like, are you guys okay with this? Are you okay with Henry Toa, Carton Puka in the slot? Because it's just one. I mean, I didn't think they took nearly advantage of it as they should have.
Well, he was underneath. I don't know if he was going to run with them the whole time or not. I'm not sure. I'm getting ready to
still
pull.
In any kind of area.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to pull this game up right now and watch because the All-22 has been loaded up here. So I'm going to watch during the break some, but. I'm interested to see what they did offensively and defensively from the big view. You had a big vantage point sitting in the game. How about John's comment where somebody goes, I'm going to LA too. I'm going to be at the game too. I'll see you there. John goes, no, you won't. I'll be in a suite. And then he walked off, Dell.
I did what?
To that one guy, the Hispanic guy who said, hey, maybe I'll see you at the game. Johnny goes, no, you won't. I'll be in a suite. You won't see me.
I didn't
Do you remember the things you said on Friday?
No, I didn't say that to anybody.
Oh, yes, you did. I'm like, wow. He just walked off, too. He was a big guy. He
had said something to me earlier about my kids. So
no, he didn't say anything about your kids.
Probably. So I had to get him
there
back.
There are people who are surprised that John came ready to roll. By the way, we were both late getting there, so we missed our time. We're supposed to be on the microphone. And then John sang the national anthem in the middle of the party.
Well, and everyone stopped.
Then they started yelling, USA, yeah. USA.
What does it follow? Because you started with something.
Fly Me to the Moon.
Yeah, he sang a couple songs, including, well, sing-song fashion, as I say.
It was sing-song, yeah.
Yeah. And
no,
then,
it wasn't.
Then he, yes.
Michael Bennis, my buddy, walked up. I was talking to a listener. And he goes, are you listening to this? Are you? See? I said, I live with this. What are you talking about? This is nothing.
John was in his bag, and it just rolled off our backs.
Everyone else is like, well, are you seeing what's happening? He's singing a national anthem.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I've heard
and?
It. Yeah, what's your point?
What?
Big deal.
I had
anyway.
To wake up Barry Laminack.
Hey, Barry did a great
he
job
did a
on
great
the roast.
Job. Barry, was
Barry
funny.
Did a great job on the roast.
I wanted to tell you know, get him afterwards. But I couldn't. He did a great job.
I think he knew how far to go with
us.
Yeah,
he began yelling at someone who was a caterer or something because something got dropped.
Yes, from Paul Miller's, from Jack's Grill.
And then the person there started yelling about something. And then Barry, because he's a comedian, started yelling because I guess he thought the guy was a heckler.
Barry doesn't like hecklers.
No.
And the guy wasn't trying to heckle.
Yeah, I don't know what. Maybe he was explaining why the crash happened because there was a loud noise. And then Barry said, shut the f up. Shut up. I was like, all right. Here we go.
On.
Here we go. But John had the cruelest joke of the night. The most insulting, I guess I would say.
Which one?
We already talked about it.
Okay. I didn't know if that's the one you were saying.
Paul's date, quote-unquote
yes.
date.
Don't put it quote-unquote.
That's his girlfriend,
not just a date.
That's his girlfriend?
Yes.
That's his girlfriend.
Stop being disrespectful.
Yeah,
I'm not being disrespectful.
It's like you don't think Paul could do that.
He was...
It's like you're mad that Paul came up with that. Paul did a great job.
What do you mean with that? You mean with the woman
well,
he's dating?
Yeah, what are you
yes.
talking about
well,
with that?
She's attractive.
Why don't you just call her? Why?
She's oh, attractive. My. Paul, it's like you didn't think Paul could
pull? Yeah,
so
you're right.
She came up. So Paul and Madeline is her name.
Okay.
The woman's name is Madeline.
Oh, she has a name.
Yes, she does have a name. Thank you. She came as we were leaving, where everyone's clearing out, she walked over to me and said hello because, you know, she listens to Paul's show. That's her guy. So she listens like the last couple minutes of my show. She said hello. Then she goes, good to meet you, so on and so forth. And in my head the entire time I was like, this is her introduction to us, the John experience. Like I was looking
oh,
right.
Oh, that's not great.
While she was talking, very nice woman, I thought to myself, I hope she has a bit of a sense of humor, because walking into the John experience, not knowing what you're walking into, like, did he just call me a whore?
I talked to her afterwards, and she thought it was, and she was
I hope
fine
so.
With it.
I hope so.
She was fine with
she
it?
She was fine with
or
it.
Or she accepted
because,
it?
Because, well, because, you know what? Probably a lot of people think that.
No, I
no,
didn't think
I,
that.
I never
I
thought
didn't
that
think
for
that
once.
At all.
I thought, great job, Paul.
It wasn't my first thought.
I thought, great job,
I was
Paul.
Like, oh, look at that. Paul brought his girlfriend. That's nice. That's what I thought. Not what you thought.
Hmm. I don't know. I think so.
This is why you don't bring anyone around. I've learned that lesson.
Can't.
I've learned my lesson.
You can't.
I would never do it. Like
Nicole's seen it before, so I brought her to the party.
Yeah, she knows the deal.
She knows the score. She'd been to dinner with John the previous
Friday.
Paul
caught it. Anyone else?
I just call that a Friday for John.
Any new woman in anyone's life that John isn't aware of, she's going to catch the same thing. If he thinks she's reasonably attractive. Whoa, you... Did you pay her to come?
Even JT, his own son, didn't bring his girlfriend there.
He wanted no part of that.
Like, no thanks.
Not at all.
That's not
of course,
why.
My wife had had a couple pops, too, now.
Oh, yeah.
She'd had, Nicole had had a, she was talky. She had had a couple pops. I couldn't drink at all because I'd been sick.
I got to tell you.
She had cornered
she and JT.
JT
had a long discussion.
She said, don't you ever... She said
yeah.
She said something about
she
I can't believe
JT.
You left the Catholic Church, JT. I used to watch you. You'd be just show up by yourself. You're such a good boy. You'd show up at St. Michael's just on a Sunday. And
she said, yeah, "I will kill you if you can convert Mace to my kid out of Catholicism."
Yeah, I was like, "What?" I said, "Hey, like, hey, hey!"
What is she, an English royal
said,
during Henry VIII's time?
I know.
She's
I said,
"Kill someone."
What do you think? You think
JT thought that was odd that she would kill him for having so he would have a close relationship?
Was she
with
watching
Jesus?
The Tudors or something? What's wrong with her?
Know.
Well, it's not
know.
Odd. I just call that a Friday.
I mean, sure. I don't think it's odd because the history of the church. They've been on that business before.
No. They will kill you if you're not
like,
Catholic.
Don't act like we can't turn the history. We can't get the History Channel rolling.
Yep.
Or just open a book.
All right.
I swear I'm not a Protestant. Please.
That is a terrible Texan segment. Okay, terrible.
Yeah, that was one of our worst Texan segments
I've
ever had.
It just led to... We have not talked that much about the debauchery of that party. And you were the head debaucherer.
We try to take a picture of me and Abigail and Sam
are
going
to
take a picture. And you know what
people.
He did? We go, here, John, take this picture. I'm like, this is stupid. John taking the picture. And, of course, he starts taking – he's walking towards us, taking these pictures. It looks like it's pointing almost to the ground. I'm like, these aren't going to be good pictures. Sure enough, he just took pictures of himself. As he goes, here you go, and walked off.
And
we had no pictures. It's just him. He just pulled that little tricky move.
Yeah, here's a good picture of you guys, and it was just me.
Bye.
And
walked off.
For some reason, they needed pictures of each show individually, so Sean and I took a picture together. Of course, the PMBs, and so on and so forth. So when it was our time at the very end of the night, John goes, hey, let's hold our arms out, and let's show the difference in our complexions. He goes, look at our arms. He starts rubbing
and
his
I
arms.
And I played into
yeah,
it.
Everyone
so did
played
you.
Into it. At this point, just go with it. You're just trying to get out of there. Yeah. So John's like, hey, let's put our arms out and see how different, or in his case, the same me and you are, Del. Look at it. Look at it. I was like, all right.
Dark meat.
See? Yeah, yep. Dark yep. meat.
That's it.
That's all our right. picture, by the way. I don't know where they're going to put that thing, but that's our picture.
All right. More Texans talk on the other side. 713-780.
If you were at the party and caught John doing something, call in.
Can we not relive this? Like,
it's a company party. Of course you have to talk about it.
Can we have to do a post-game?
The only thing missing was you putting your ass on a Xerox machine.
can't we just play the game
press
and
ham.
No press conference after?
How'd you avoid press ham?
Why in
press
the world
ham.
Do we
oh
have to
God.
Do that?
We do it all the time. What are you talking about? The only person who has a problem reliving it is you. Maybe because you don't remember most of it. Also, because no one acted like you there.
I kind of remember it. We got a break. This is a break.
He thought he was just going to get away with singing Fly Me to the Moon, and we're just going to let it go.
You thought that was just going to get a free pass?
Time to talk about Texas Card House. Okay, that's what we got to talk about. How about they're open right now? Both locations, Green Ridge and Westheimer. I-45 and Spring Cypress. And it's awesome. I played there last week. When I get back in town, I'm playing poker. I'm going to Texas Card House, okay? Now, so they have $100,000 on the 17th of this month, $100,000 no limit hold'em tournament. That means there's $100,000 going to the players. Listen, this is a great way to make money, people. A $40,000 same day, only at the Spring Cypress location, a 40,000 PLO tournament. 100,000 at Green Ridge and Westheimer, 40,000 PLO, and people love PLO. Love PLO. Look, you're looking for a great way to play. And I, by the way, their PLO cash game, holy crap, I was watching that the other day. Wow. If you love PLO, you got to get in this game. It is awesome. They've got a $25 at Spring Cypress, a $25 2 o'clock, $1,500 guarantee, and a lot of times it gets up to $2,000 and $3,000 that you, for $25 of $25 buy-in. It's ridiculous. It's so good. You're looking for the best way to play and make money and have fun and get the best cash games. There's one place: TexasCardHouse.com. TexasCardHouse.com. Tell them you heard it right here.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 713-780-3776. I want to, Dell, let's get CJ talking about no deep shots down the field. But first, let's get Karen in here. She wants to talk about, I don't know. Hi, Karen, how are you?
Hey, guys. I do have a question. Why are Ohio State quarterbacks, for example, C.B. Stroud, not good in the NFL? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, C.J. was the first good one, actually. But now, Justin Fields looked pretty good yesterday. For whatever reason, it's the truth. Ohio State quarterbacks have not been good.
System quarterbacks? I don't know.
But
I
think it stretches over different coaches long, in multiple decades now.
Yeah, right.
JT Barrett. Who was the one?
Troy Smith. Yeah.
Hey, you know, some offenses are made for college quarterbacks.
Art Schleister.
That's going way back. But yeah.
Bobby Hoying.
I mean, no, honestly, as good as that program is, they don't produce quarterback.
The best one they produced had to transfer to play.
Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
And I don't know you know, sometimes you get quarterbacks who are dual threat, but that's not really an excuse anymore because dual threat quarterbacks. Well, number one, Ohio State, CJ was never a dual threat quarterback. He wouldn't run on zone reads ever at Ohio State.
He said at one point famously, I'm not paid to run. He said that while playing for Ohio State.
Yeah, before NIL. And I don't, like, that wasn't great when he's not, like, you gotta, I don't know.
But CJ was the exception to the Ohio State rule up until last year?
Yeah.
I don't know. Our opinion of CJ is that he's not a very good quarterback?
My opinion is that he's fine. I thought he was better. I don't know. I'd like to see him. Look, I think CJ needs some things around him to be good. It's just, there's not many Josh Allens and Lamar Jacksons walking the planet. Joe Burrow got shut down in the second half. They had 7 total yards on offense in the second half. The Bengals got their asses kicked by the Browns in the second half. Pat Mahomes the other day. He did okay. Justin Herbert was really, really good the other day. But, you know, this ability to do more with less, there's not many of those guys around. No. CJ's got to have things. That's why he's not an elite quarterback. He's one of those guys that needs the protection to be good. He doesn't have the ability to star if his protection isn't good. What's throwing me off, though, is he didn't have great talent on the offensive line his rookie year. And then he had Damian Pierce coming off of what had been a good year and didn't have a good second year. And somehow, CJ had a really strong rookie year. Now, is it as good as we remember? Go look at his game log, CJ Stroud's. And what you'll see is that he benefits from a lot of late game heroics. And we remember him having these great games when the reality is he came up clutch in situations. his season wasn't as – I don't know if you go back and look at it game by game, it's not as prolific as you may remember it to be. He just he had late a late game win against the Saints, late game win against the Bucks. No, it is important, but sometimes it can skew your perception of the whole 60 minutes.
As a rookie, was great at not turning the ball over. That was a big point of
his touchdown interception point. Was pretty damn good.
Yeah, true. Yep. True.
All right, let's talk. Okay, let's. And this is going to make me nuts. Okay, here's CJ. Talking about why they didn't throw the ball deep.
Just play shell, a lot of Tampa 2, a lot of disguised cover 2, and, you know, played over the top. So they did a good job of that. But I feel like we were executing in ways, but just some of those negative plays that we got to just fix. But I thought we moved the ball pretty well, but just got to just put it in the end zone or try to create an explosive somehow. But yeah, we'll be seeing that all year, so we got to get used to it.
I mean, it's what it was last year. It's what it was for the whole NFL. A lot of shell coverages, meaning, you know, sometimes shell coverage can be quarters coverage where they're dropping the corners and the safeties, the two safeties back, and you kind of have four over the top. Sometimes in Tampa 2, you'll run, you know, kind of a bump and run. You can either run zone or man with your corners, but you got the two safeties over the top. It's just a way to take away the deep ball. And when you do that, Nico Collins is not the same effective, so you got to find ways to get him the football. You have to. CJ tried to throw him a little slant late in that game, and it was down by his knees. Or was that the end of the half or end of the game where he threw it down by basically by his knees? It was a really bad throw. Like, Nico's got to have minimum 5 catches every game. Minimum.
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 And you have to – I don't – okay. Okay.
What about some sideways passes? Would you like that?
Okay, so every freaking time a team plays Tampa 2, the Texans, it just seems like that's the excuse after, well, yeah, we didn't move the ball. You had no chunk plays because they were playing Tampa 2. Apparently, if you play Tampa 2, no one can do anything.
Well, you watched last night the Bills, and Collinsworth pointed out. He said they wanted to keep two safeties back just to have a chance to tackle Derrick Henry. They didn't want single high, which you would normally think you would do because you can't stop the run. The Bills couldn't stop the Ravens in two high, run the football, and they got explosives just run the football. The Texans, as much as the Chubb may get you 3-4, you're not going to get very many explosives with this version of Nick Chubb. So if you're going to play too high because you don't respect the running game, because you don't think they can run all over you, then you're not going to get the opportunity. I mean, I've seen it firsthand the last couple years with the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. You know, the first couple years, Waddle and Hill and so on and so forth.
Going crazy.
Down the field. But teams are like, know what? Not anymore. And we don't think you guys can make us pay by running the football. So, a shell. Now the Dolphins went to throwing screens to guys. They try to get their explosives that way. So, unless the Texans can actually run the ball and make it count, this is all they're going to see.
That's all they're going to see.
Yeah. It really is a real thing.
This has been for years now, though.
They're giving you the run. If the safeties are back, you have a 7-man, frankly, 6-man a lot of time boxes because so many teams are in nickel. I mean, you got to say, all right, we're going to bust your ass on the ground. And you can do that with Joe Mixon. This is why the loss of Joe Mixon is so enormous, because Joe Mixon can go for 100-plus on you, control the game, control the tempo, move the sticks, eat the clock up. And without Joe Mixon, you're dealing with – and don't tell me the offensive line stunk last year. Guess what? Joe Mixon still went for over 100, I think it was 7 games last year. Joe Mixon was still really good. I think there's enough blocking out there to get you to that – close to that 100, you know, 100 number for a single running back if you load him up. If it's Joe, but if it ain't Joe Mixon, I don't think it's happening. And you don't have Joe Mixon for at least the first 4 games.
Yeah, at least, and probably more.
Don't say that.
So let's talk about the Texans defense on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That was actually something good. We'll talk about that. Got to give them their flowers on that. Got to give the defense its flowers. Right now, though, I'm talking about basketball. The season's coming up. It's getting nicer out where the kids can go outside and play, right? It's fall. They're going to start thinking about, hey, basketball is coming. How about the Pro Dunk Goal? How about the Pro Dunk Goal? Keith Tate and his son, what they're doing with the Pro Dunk Goal is second to none. It is not even arguable that this is the best goal ever in the history of goals. It is. We had one, and I got to tell you, the kids loved it. And that was with a crank on it to raise and lower the goal. This is a push of a button. The kids will love that as well. They'll get tired of doing it, Dad. So, all right, can you guys stop going up and down with it? Please just leave it where it is, because that's what kids will do. But they'll get it lowered so that they can dunk, so that they can have fun, so that they'll be out there. It won't just sit and rust, because it doesn't rust, first of all. But the tempered glass backboard and the unbreakable rim, all of it. There's no better goal ever, ever, ever made. So don't get that box store with the sand in the base. That's terrible. They won't play on that. Get them the goal that they'll love, Dad. ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com. Tell Keith Tate you heard it here.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Let's talk about St. Arnold, because what a great party they threw. What a great space that was. We were in the beer hall. Can hold up to 300 people, but they also have the Investors Pub. We're talking about private events. You've all seen St. Arnold. You've been there. Maybe not all of you. If you haven't been to St. Arnold, it's incredible. It's awesome. They have some of the best beer you're going to find in the city of Houston. One of the original brewers right here in the city of Houston. Awesome food. But what stands out to me is we were in the beer hall, and it is a great place to have a big event. You can have a band in there. You can have multiple tables of food. What I'm getting at is, it's now that I've seen it and been in it, it is a great place for a wedding reception that is going to be a lot of fun. They'll have the beer flowing there. They had the root beer. They had different ciders as well for people. They've got a great set of, they got a great chef who has an awesome menu for you, different pizzas, different appetizers, big, you know, it could be big menu items or just appetizer tables. But I just know this, whether it's a bigger event or a smaller event, they've got audio and visual available for you. We took advantage of the audio part of that. And they can host smaller gatherings, ones for your business. They can host celebration of life. I mean, anything you can think of where you want a cool space and you want to have a great time, it's St. Arnold. Private events are welcome. Go to the website, StArnold.com, click on private events, and book yours today so that you don't miss out on a time and date that you want to have your awesome party over there at St. Arnold. They'll take all the heavy lifting out of your hands. It's StArnold.com, click private events.
The Hall of Fame with Booker T and Brad Gilmore is on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yeah, by the way, St. Arnold's was awesome. It was a great place for a party. Great place for a party.
Yeah, it did great.
Yeah, just if you can, you need a place, man. We had a great time. And by the way, forgot to Todd and Joe and Courtney and Sam all did a wonderful. I'm sure I'm missing, and all the salespeople did a wonderful job.
We had our promo team out there, Skylar and
Abigail,
Victoria was out there helping, and AJ, one of our part-timers.
See, you notice he's intentionally dissing Abigail?
You said Abigail before I got to it.
Annabelle was out there.
You said her name before I got to it.
All the food people, let's see, BB's was out there.
Oh, my God.
Jack's Grill, Portillo's. We had Taqueria Sarandas.
Yeah,
Great Plate, which is the Jack's. Well, it's a variety of restaurants that Paul Miller has.
Yeah, Paul Miller.
Nico Doris. Nico's was there as well. So,
my man.
A lot of really good food. It was just people were just eating as much as they want whenever they wanted. It was a
thank you.
It was a good time. God, it would be. I mean, it'd be awesome if we could have. Well, we've got our things that we do, but if we could really turn out the Christmas party and have it there to where you've got enough room that you could actually get back to offensive and defensive pass protection.
We could have all those
that space.
Nick's listening going, hey.
I know.
Hey,
I saw Nick yesterday.
Yeah. All right. So.
Hey, Texans, what about Nick from Nick's place? Kind of a dive bar.
The kind Texans of. Loaded the box. Apparently, this is the most Sean McVay has ever faced.
Really?
Yeah. Well, Houston stressing. Okay, so the ground game for the Rams, 3.3 yards a carry, which is awesome. However, Matthew Stafford, when the Texans loaded the box, was 9 of 10, 108 yards and a TD. So you traded it off, but it was a good trade-off because you only gave up 14 points.
Listen, that's all you could ask for.
That's all. You can't
14,
ask
you got to go win 16 to 14. But that's what you had to do, win 16-14.
Why did they – okay, so the Rams – Stafford was under center 61% of the time. He was only 44% last year. What was it about the Texans that had him under center more?
I wonder. Probably, my guess is that they wanted to make them respect run a little bit more, run play action. The best way to run play action, because it's under a slower mesh, is under the center. So if you run under the center, you know, the mesh point, it takes longer. It forces defense to flow more. When you run play action out of shotgun, it happens really quickly. So you can't get defenses to really flow. That's my guess, is it was to slow down the pass rush. And I know it's counterintuitive for some people. You think, man, I want to be in the shotgun where I get the ball quicker and I can see the rush from back there. That's true. But if you want, but if you're a team that likes to run the ball too, which the Texans like to do also, then it actually makes a lot of sense to run from under center because it's easier to sell the play fake and slow down the pass rush. Because the Rams are just as afraid of the Texans' pass rush as I think the Texans were of the Rams' pass rush. What was it, 3 sacks apiece on both sides, I think?
Yeah. Yeah. But CJ's he backs up and just takes a brutal sack that you can't come back from. Then one of them was like 16 yards, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
I mean, he's backing up and then he has to eat it. It's just
Yeah, I'm rewatching the game right now, and is it good to have 2 of your first 3 plays be penalties?
No, not typically.
No.
First play.
Cam Robinson's first play of the season. False start.
Now, Verse was falling to the ground on his own. Then Cam helped him stay there, which is why he got the holding call. But yeah, I mean, it's not a great start, and then it kept going that way for the rest of the game. I don't want to say same old Texans. It's been mentioned quite a bit here, but the thing we thought would be a problem and could hold this team back showed itself in game one, and will the Rams be the best front they play? Maybe. But there's going to be big-time pass rushes throughout the year. And for 16 more games, are they going to have to make do and work around this line and the penalties that will come from this line not being as talented?
Probably.
They feel like they capped themselves at maybe winning the division. Should win the division, and that's it. It sucks to say in week one, but we've been talking about it all off season that this line is going to cap their potential.
And of course, right at the bat, I'm seeing a twist that gets Howard. Yeah, I mean, right off the bat, I'm watching this all 22, and there's another twist that gets Titus Howard, and CJ gets hit. I mean, I don't know how many more of these I'm going to see, but I don't like it at all because that's the same crap it was last year.
And that was a. Not a long developing play on that. It was a fade ball down the sideline to Nico, and CJ gets hit.
Yeah.
When he gets the ball out really quickly, and he still got tapped. He didn't get hit hard, but he felt the rusher. And yeah, was that the first twist they ran on that first drive? And it got
first
home.
Drive, yeah,
and it got home.
It's just a TE where the tackle moved. Now I will say it was a little trickier because the tackle didn't go pick the defense tackle didn't go pick the offensive tackle. He was just rushing to the outside. So I get that. And these are really good rushers, and you don't want to just treat them without full respect, because if they get into the gaps, they're a problem. So it's just, you know, it's just I'm watching all this, and I mean, they're actually working towards some of the stuff I'm watching now.
I thought we were going to call the good plays. And we weren't going to fall for the tight end twist.
Well,
I thought we weren't going to do that.
I mean,
anymore.
It did take until plus, the second play, John.
We got a good offensive line coach now. We don't have the bad one anymore.
The same one who was in the room last year. But you know, he didn't have a voice this time. But now he does.
But I thought...
What did you think? Lack of concern, right? No concern.
Where's Bobby Slowick right now?
I can't believe it's the first time a TN twist is called and it got home. Now that I think about it. The one thing they told us
all
that they would get fixed because communication will be better. The line understands the plays. You know, Titus Howard went after... He didn't specifically say Bobby Slowick, but he talked about run plays that didn't fit what they wanted to do and glad they don't have to do them anymore. The first time you have to deal with the TN split and you don't pick it up well.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but okay, so where is Bobby Slowick right now?
Oh, he didn't help yesterday. He's the passing game coordinator in Miami. I mean, I don't.
Never mind. I was going to say
he brought the bad plays with him.
I don't know that what I – of the plays I saw, I didn't see the whole thing. It was out of market game, and I don't pay for tickets, so I didn't see all of it. But I don't think I'm going to put what happened on Bobby Slowick. He doesn't deserve that.
Did you see the Tua close up of Tua? And he's cross eyed. There's a close up of him dropping back to pass.
He is one of the guys who, if things go poorly, the engagement from pointing out how poorly it goes hits. Like underdog. I don't know if it was their NFL account or just the underdog social media Twitter account. Like I just went through their tweets because the tweet popped up, and you know you get your 440 likes or 500 likes, whatever. Tua reading a defense, and it was not even Tua, someone else, but the image of a guy looking confused got like 9,000 likes. He is in, and if you want an engagement farm, use Tua when he struggles. But yeah, I'm still on the first drive because I keep rewatching this. Nope, don't like it.
Nope.
Don't like the O-line play.
I just saw, I can't tell if it's a bust between Damian, if it's Damian Pierce, or they're all sliding protection to the right, and I can't tell if it's Damian Pierce that busts or you know, they run a stunt on Cam Robinson, and they didn't even need to because Cam was completely bamboozled by everything that was even happening. And then Damian Pierce just takes off out of the backfield. Like, I'm pretty sure you got to stay in. And I don't know. That's why one of the things, Damian Pierce may not get to play a whole lot. If you don't recognize your protection responsibilities as a running back, you just can't play in today's NFL.
Well, you'll watch Woody Marks step up and make a really nice block. I really like that. I think, listen, you need somebody explosive back there, and if Woody Marks is the answer right now, then Woody Marks is the answer. Because I didn't, Nick Chubb, he had a couple of nice runs. He had a couple of real nice runs. But for the most part, the running game did not help them at all to open up anything offensively, nothing. All right, we got a break. Time to talk about East River 9. How about music every weekend? How about a corporate? Listen, this is the thing. We talk about this. You can have a client. Now, a lot of clients aren't giving you 4 hours to go golfing, right? How about an hour and a half? How about we can go for an hour and a half. We can play East River 9. So much fun. We'll have a couple of cocktails. You can be out of there. There's a lot of business people that don't have 4 hours. They're not giving you 4 hours. They're not giving you an hour and a half in their office. They're just not. They don't have time for that. But if you take them out to East River 9, get a corporate membership, have your salespeople take people out there, okay? Great way to entertain. They can buy a meal, a really good restaurant and sports bar where they can have a couple of cocktails. This is good for business. But it's not only good for business, it's good for morale as well for your company. Because your company, you can have outings there with your people. Pickleball courts or just, you know, at night. So they work all day, but you have an outing at night. How's that? Because you're not wasting your day. Having outings with your people. They're actually working, and then you're going to have fun. So here's the deal. East River 9 is a great place for this because they love to play golf, all right, and they want to have fun, and you got a corporate membership there. Go to eastriver9.com, eastriver9.com. See for yourself. East River 9, it's really, really cool. Great place. You'll see for yourself. eastriver9.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.